before we enter into our test, you know, Father has been breathing a word on my heart about judgment. Amen. Today's word is judging Jezebel and her children. Judging Jezebel and her children. Amen. And when you look at this particular banner, we are talking about seeking ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. But one thing you see is the throne, right? The throne of God, and then you see what seems to be like glass, right? Because the throne of God, there's a sea of glass at this bottom, amen. And there's a foundation. There's something that the throne is founded on, amen. And when you go to Psalm 97, hallelujah. Are you guys in this house? In Psalm 97, David informs us that the throne of God is established on two major pillars or two major foundation stones. Amen. And in the same way, your life as a king. Are you not a king? That means you have a throne. So for you to be established in the kingdom that God has given you, these two things must be established in your life. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. In Psalm 97, the Bible says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are around about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation." Glory be to God. They are what? The habitation of thy throne. That means there are two things that the throne of God is established on. It is righteousness and it is judgment. Hallelujah. How many things are under the throne or establishing a throne? Righteousness and judgment. Revelation is the prophet saw the heavens open and he saw the word of God coming in Revelation 19 like a rider on a white horse. And the Bible says that he judgeth in righteousness. Amen. Judgment means separation. Everybody says separation. In fact, the Greek word for judgment is crisis. There's a crisis. That means there has to be a separation. Amen. It means putting things in the right section. So when if you go to the book of Matthew, especially chapter 13, there are some kingdom parables where you see judgment. Where God will say, in the last days, the angels will come forth and they will separate the fish. Amen. Good into vessels, nice vessels, and the bad will throw away. Amen. The Bible says at the end of time, the tares, they shall be separated. Amen. The Father is doing this now. As this word is going forth, any tare that has been commingled into your life or sown into your life, this word is a word of judgment to remove that tare out of your life in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it important that we are doing this eternal judgment foundation? For let's go to Proverbs. Everybody shout Proverbs. Proverbs 20 verse 8. Proverbs 20 verse 8. Are you in this house? Hallelujah. The Bible says, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with what? Don't forget that. Eyes also release judgment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That means that if you are going to be established in ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus, as Romans 8 talks about, if you are going to rule and reign with Christ, Romans 5:17 actually, you will have to begin to execute judgment in your life. If you go to the book of Daniel, there was a beast that was fighting against the people of God. And the Bible says this beast was prevailing against the saints until the throne of God was set in place. And the Ancient of Days sat down and judgment was given to the saints. And from that point on, the dominion of the beast was taken away. And the Bible says the beast was cast into the judgment of fire. I'm telling you that until there's judgment, you are always going through instability in your life. But when judgment comes, you are established and you are founded and nothing can move you. Today is a day of judgment. We are here to judge whatever is messing up with our peace, whatever is messing up with our joy, whatever is messing up with our right standing with God. And the Bible says that a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment. Say, my seat is a throne of judgment. In the name of Jesus. As you are sitting there, you're going to scatter away all evil with your eyes. Say, in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, arise and scatter every evil out of my life in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says in verse 26 that a wise king, verse 26 of this same chapter, the Bible says a wise king scattereth the wicked. Did you read that? A wise king scattereth the wicked. Are you a wise king? Are you going to allow the wicked to hang around you? Bible says if you are a wise king, that means a foolish king will embrace the wicked. King Ahab, when God gave him victory over his enemy, he embraced his enemy and welcomed him into his chariot and received the judgment of God because of that. King Saul, when God released him to fight against the Amalekites, after the victory, he brought Agag with him. And because he didn't kill him, he received the judgment of God. Because that same Agag had another child. And that child had another child until Haman came. And Haman almost annihilated the people of Israel. The enemy that you are allowed to live, you may be able to escape him in your lifetime. But what about your posterity? What about your children? What about your wife? What about your husband? What about your household? Until you rise up in your wisdom and begin to release the judgment of God, you can't be established. Bible says a wise king scattereth the wicked, and that's what? Bringeth the wheel over them. Don't forget that. So if you're a wise king, after the enemy has been struck down, you don't rise up until the person is completely destroyed. You don't want the enemy to, recover. Have you ever, killed an ant? Hallelujah. You really killed this ant. You really pressed down on it. The ant is dead. Hallelujah. You walk away. Amen. And you come back again, the ant is walking away. Have you ever had that experience? Blessed be his holy name. Now some things, if you don't kill them proper, they'll rise again. So a wise king after killing will also use the wheel and pass over to make double sure that that person is truly dead. I told you today we are going to spill blood today. I told you today we are here for judgment. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is walking in our midst today and bringing judgment in our lives. There are some things that have hung around us for too long. And today is time to tear them off our lives. Amen. When Jesus comes, he comes as a lamb, but today he's coming as a lion. He's coming to separate. He's coming to judge. He's coming to bring about a change of your life tonight or this morning in the name of Jesus. Let's go to our test for today. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A wise king will not allow the wicked to hang around him. Are you aware? But in fact, in the olden days, when a king rose up and sat in his throne, his first order of business was to exterminate by execution every pretender to the throne. And that could remain their brothers. You know that Solomon killed his brother? Because his brother had his eyes on the throne. Amen. The Bible says, after Solomon killed Joab, the commander of David's army, after he killed Jonadab or Adonijah, his brother who wanted the throne, and after he killed Shemaiah, the guy who cursed David, Bible says that his throne was established. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in those days, especially in the Middle Eastern area, when somebody became a king, any person who could be king was killed so that that person's throne would be established. And that king would go about releasing a lot of children, giving birth to a lot of children, amen, so that if you kill one, the other one can rise up. I hope you're understanding this. So David was so happy when God told him that I will never allow your seed not to sit on the seat. Everywhere, in every generation, one of your children will be a king. And God allowed it to be so until they were led up into captivity by their own sin. Today, God is saying that he's establishing our kingdom. He's establishing us in this land of Durham, North Carolina. He's establishing you wherever you are. And that establishment is accomplished through righteous living and judgment. What is the scepter of the throne of God? Let's go to Hebrews 1 verse 8. Hebrews 1 verse 8 says, thy throne, O Lord, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Is that so? See, what is a scepter? This is the scepter, amen? And that is what the kings use as their hammer. You know, the judges have a hammer that they use to hit down to mean that their verdict is final. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen? Well, the scepter was what they used. When they released the scepter, a verdict was released. And the Bible says that you have to make judgments based on the foundation of righteousness. So it is the righteous who can execute judgments that will remain. Judgments that will last. I hope you're understanding this word. Hallelujah. Let's all read this. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. So that means Jesus is God. Who was he speaking this word to? To the Son. And who was the Son? So he says, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. So Jesus is God. For those who are wondering, he's not just the Son of Man, he's also the Son of God. Amen. He's a divine person. He says, I and the Father are one. Amen. It says in heaven, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Bible says that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So now you understand why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But don't be a toothless Buddha, because without your scepter, you can't do anything. He says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that righteousness is the scepter. Bah, hallelujah. The scepter is right standing with God, sitting on the right hand of power. When God lifts up his hand, things begin to happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you have this scepter in your hands? I believe you have it. Now we have finished with our introduction. We can get into the meat of the word this morning. Are you happy? Are you glad to be in the house of God? I'm going to Revelation chapter 2. Again, for those who have missed part of our teachings, we are teaching on eternal judgment. And the Bible says the judgment of God begins with the house of God. In all the judgments you will read, you will discover that the good are dealt with first, and then he moves on to the bad. It's always been so. The tares, if you look at their judgment, the Bible says that the wheat were put aside, and then God dealt with the tares. Amen. If you read about the fish parable, the Bible says the good fish was put into vessels, and the bad fish was thrown away. Hallelujah. If you look at the parable of the talents, the good guys were dealt with first, right? The guy with the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the guy with the bad record, he came last. There are 2 judgments. Are you aware? A judgment for the church and a judgment for the world. We don't want to be part of the second judgment. Amen. And the church is going through a winning process. God is winnowing the church as I speak. In this land of America, United States of America, God is executing judgment in the church. Are you aware? Because God is releasing a new generation of men and women of God who will stand for the truth, even at the risk of them dying. Because America has reached a place where compromise has become the norm, where the good is being called the bad. Are you aware that just this week, that the presidency released an appeal to the court asking them to repeal that ban on homosexual marriage? Are you aware? This has gone all the way to the highest court. And that's where we are sitting right now. And if you read through your word, in every generation, the homosexuality raised up its head. You know that is a spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever it raised up its head, that nation began to crumble. The more the gay agenda is being pursued, the worse our economy becomes. Have you been realizing that? God has his way of dealing with people. And we need to rise up as a church. We are the salt of the earth. It's not the president who is the salt of the earth, though. We are the salt of the earth. And if we begin to become the salt, everything else will line up. Hallelujah. We are the light of this world. So if our light is not shining, what will happen? The whole land will be plunged into darkness. But once the church begins to rise up and to assume its right position, our light will begin to shine, and then we'll see where the bugs are. We'll see where the cockroaches are. We'll see where the rats are. Hallelujah. In darkness, the works of darkness begin to move quickly and prosper. But our light is rising up. And for your light to rise up, bushels have to be removed. Things that block the light have to be removed. And there are some elements in the church that are blocking the light. There are some elements in the church that are undermining our saltiness. And the Father is rising up through this word to lift some up and then to put some down. Can we hear a big amen? Because our salt has to be salty. Hallelujah. The best kind of salt is very sharp to the tongue. It cuts. Amen. And it heals and it preserves and it kills bad stuff. Hallelujah. Are you aware? Blessed be the name of the Lord. May we be the light of this world. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 1, he reveals himself to Apostle John, right? And then in chapter 2, he begins to release certain letters through him to the church. The whole book of Revelations is about judgment. Are you aware? It's a final judgment on the earth. And he begins the whole book by dealing with the church. And he goes from the first church being the Ephesus church, a very powerful church. But in that church, there were some tares called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But the church had seen them, hallelujah, and they had been able to deal with them. And God was commending them for that. But the next church, Smyra, was a church that was going through a lot of persecution, a lot of tribulation, hallelujah. A lot of troubles were going on in that church, amen. And because of that, God said, guys, hold on to that which you have. Otherwise, you will lose it. Amen. Well, by the time the next church comes into view, that is the church at Pergamos, the Nicolaitans were teachers in a church. The tribulation and the persecution that the first age had gone through began to soften their stance and cause them to be ambivalent about the things of God. And they began to say good is bad and bad is good. And these people had taken over the church. And the Bible said the spirit of Balaam was moving in that church. And we dealt with that, I believe, last week, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So the Nicolaitans were an offshoot of that spirit called Balaam. Amen. But when we come to the next church, something is happening in Thyatira. That is the church we are going to deal with today. Are you in this house? So you see the progression of evil in the church? First church too strong. Amen. The next year, the devil hit them. Amen. And when the dust settled, the Nicolaitans were there. Balaam was there. And today you see that Jezebel came into the picture. When Jezebel comes into the picture, it's Wahala. Thank God for the fact that the Balaams can't do much about by themselves. But when they began to copulate with Jezebel, they put that as strange children. And that is how tares are planted in the church. Tares are planted in the church when the Jezebels receive the seed of the Balaams and they begin to release certain demonic children. And those children, God doesn't recognize them. He actually judges them. He says, I never knew you. Hallelujah. And we'll be dealing with that very, very well this morning. Amen. Can we read this together? Revelation 2, 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. And the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Are you reading? Because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Well, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, everybody shout, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches, everybody say the churches, all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. Hey, hallelujah. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hallelujah. This was a church that had some serious stuff going on. It was a great church and a bad church together, you know. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I know your works. This was a great church in terms of works. They had great programs going on. They were assisting the community. They had great love for the people. They had homeless shelters. Amen. They had a soup kitchen, whatever, centers. And Jesus loved them for that. He commended them for the work that they were doing to assist the community to know his love and his kindness. Bible says that God said, I know your service. It was a church where they were very serviceable, very hospitable. Amen. In fact, Jesus said something that was so powerful. He said that your works, you see, with the people of Ephesus, Jesus said that you have left your first works and your first love. Amen. But this church, they had held on to the first works, and the Bible says that their works were even greater than the first. They had moved to a double portion of the glory of God. This was a powerful church. Amen. A church that had gone over and beyond what even God had put down. Jesus said that these works that I do, the same shall ye do. And greater works than these shall ye do because I go to the Father. And this church was doing the first works, and they had pushed the envelope to the next level. A powerful church full of miracles, full of signs, and full of wonders. And whilst all these wonderful things were going on, somewhere, somehow, Jezebel had crept in unawares. And that spirit had begun to take over that church. And that spirit had begun to copulate with the rulers of that assembly. And demonic children were being released in that church. In fact, these people, God said, I am against them, I will kill them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Balaam is bad enough. The Nicolaitans are bad enough. Amen. But the Bible says that man by himself can't copulate. A man by himself can't bring forth children, right? Huh? So Balaam can do his worst. It's not too bad. Hallelujah. We can cut him down. Blessed be his holy name. The Nicolaitans can do their best, but it's not enough. But when you get a willing accomplice, when you get Mama Jezzy in your midst, we are in deep trouble. Because Mama Jezzy can conceive. And she can bring forth what we call children. And Jezebel, if you know your history of the Bible, was a very demonic person. Amen. You see, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that Solomon, when he messed up, God divided the kingdom of God and gave the biggest part to the people of Israel. And the Judah tribe went away with Levi and Benjamin. Amen. And the wicked king came there called Jeroboam, who ruled over the Israelites. God put him there, but he turned out to be wicked. So God can put people in place and they can turn around and do their own thing. I hope you understand that. Well, this king was evil. God dealt with him. Then another person came on, was as wicked as the one who was taking out God. God just dealt with him. So these kings were not living too long because of their wickedness. And there was a guy called Omri. Everybody shout Omri. Who through all that tumult became a king. He ruled for about 12 years. And he was extremely wicked. And in his day, Israel made an alliance with the king of Sidon, one of the Canaanite kings that Joshua was supposed to have dealt with. Amen. Well, this king of Sidon, in the kingdom of Sidon, everybody says Sidon. Sidon was where Baal worship was concentrated. In fact, their national religion was Baal worship. Amen. And this king had a daughter called Jezebel. This king was called Ethbaal. Everybody say Ethbaal. Ethbaal means with Baal. That means that their family was connected tightly to the worship of Baal. And the word Jezebel means not chaste or not holy. It means somebody who is connected also to Baal. And Omri chose that woman. You see, whenever kings made an alliance in those days, even as it is today, when two powerful families want to, you know, connect their fortunes together, the daughter of one, the son of one, will all meet together, they marry, and then those two families are welded together. I hope you understand that. So in those days, to solidify the alliance, their children had to marry. Amen. So the child of the wicked king called Omri, the king of Israel, was given over to Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. And by so doing, the kingdom of Sidon and the kingdom of Israel were brought together. Are you seeing this picture? Well, Mama Jezebel didn't just come to Israel. She came with her prophets. She came with her gods. Since they were one, they had to allow their religions to be coupled together. So they did what we call syncretic religion, where people were worshiping God, but were also worshiping other gods. People come to church and they serve God. As soon as they slide out of church, they go and worship their other gods. That is why God said you cannot serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. Bible says that if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Deny even your family. Deny people connected to you. Cut off soul ties and be released to do my will. Amen. Well, Mama Jezi marries our brother Ahab. And the two of them, they have children. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ahab had 70 children. Now, of course, we are not saying that Jezi gave birth to all 70 of them. Hallelujah. But Ahab was a busy man. He has 70 sons. Everybody say 70. Hallelujah. Actually more, but 70 was the number that they all wore. You know, that's Mama Jezi. Amen. Very dangerous woman. Hallelujah. This Mama Jezi was very terrible. The Bible says when she became queen, after she had sobered Ahab, the Bible says there was no king as wicked as Ahab. The Bible records that Ahab did worse things than his predecessors because his wife was provoking him. His wife was stirring him up. Amen. He had married a strange woman. Say, every strange woman in my life, I cut myself off from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says that this woman began to kill and exterminate the true prophets of God in the land of Israel. She began to kill even the servants of God. Anybody who was connected to the worship of Yahweh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Whoever will call upon the name Jehovah was a target for Jezebel. And Jezebel was killing left and right because she came to do a takeover. Whenever you make an alliance with the enemy, it is not going to be an alliance on equal terms. One of you is going to become the king. You can have two companies merging their fortunes together. And they will start off as equals, but eventually one will come out and shut down the other one. That is how it is. So when Jezebel came down, say, yeah, I love Yahweh. Amen. But while she was serving Yahweh, she was looking at those who were really, truly serving him. And began to take them out one by one. It was a time of great terror for those who serve God. The Bible says that they had to hide in caves. Of all the prophets that were raised up by Samuel and his posterity, only 100 prophets were left. And they were hid by the very servant of Ahab called Obadiah. 50 by 50. They didn't eat meat. They didn't eat any juice. For as long as they were in the caves, what did they eat? Bread and water. Hallelujah. And God was looking on. And this woman carefully removed all the prophets. And Baal worship became the national religion over Israel. And it is in this time of great darkness that Brother Elijah was raised up. Hallelujah. We are entering into dark times. Amen. When what God calls bad becomes a national accepted thing, then the nation is in trouble. And we are going to rise up. It is in these days that the kingdom of God will rise up. God establishes his kingdom in the worst of times. So this may seem like a bad time, but this is a great time as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. But Elijah comes and says, Ahab, you know what? You guys are so wicked. I am exercising my authority as an ambassador of the King of Kings. And I have taken the prerogative to shut up the heavens. And there will be no rainfall until I say so. Ahab laughs at him. Elijah goes away. 1 month, no rain. 2 months, no rain. Now, when your rain is not falling, that means your economy is under attack. It is recession and depression. But they could survive that because they had food from the previous harvest. That runs out. Amen. 1 year becomes 2 years. The king is panicking. And he's trying to find out where Elijah is. But he's hidden himself at God's command by a river called Kidron. And whilst he's there, birds called ravens are feeding him. We are entering the day and time where unclean birds will be taking care of the church, where the wealth of the wicked will be transferred to the kingdom of God. How many of you can believe that? It's going to happen in the name of Jesus. There's a reallocation of resources. The ravens were feeding Elijah by the brook Kidron. Well, he released a judgment that affected his own pocket. The rivers dried up. And God said, now go to Sidon, to a city called Zarephath. Now, you all know that Sidon is where Mama Jesse came from. Hallelujah. Now, up to this point in time, nobody had been able to successfully deal with Jezebel. Because, not because they couldn't, because they didn't know how to deal with her. To deal with your enemy, you need to do some investigation. You need to do some study. Hallelujah. You need to know the person you are dealing with. Otherwise, you can't handle the greater depth of God. That's what God says to those who don't know this doctrine, I will not even give you any more load. There are some things you can't deal with because of ignorance. Are you hearing this word? The Bible says that he was allowed to go to Sidon, the place where the Baal worship was. And whilst he was there, he was living in the house of a woman who was serving Baal. Because the Bible says that when her son died, she came to Elijah and said, you have come here to mess me up. Because of you, all the bad things I've been doing has come out. And my son is dead because of that. Are you hearing this word? Well, this woman sustained Elijah and her son died. Amen. Those who sustain the prophets and those who sustain the men of God often come under attack. Amen. But when they come under attack, they shouldn't run away. They should run to the prophets. Are you getting this? Because the woman came with her dead son and said, what is this? You came to my house. I took care of you. I know I wasn't a very good woman, but at the very least, I gave you food to eat. When you came, you were so hungry that you couldn't eat a whole loaf. You asked for just a morsel. That was how bad things were. I took care of you. I know the oil didn't run out, the flood, but I took care of you. And this, my boy, is dead. Elijah took the boy. Hallelujah. Took the boy to his bedroom. Put the child and said, Father, have you brought me here to embarrass me? Amen. That was his prayer. That was the totality of his prayer. Then he turned to the boy and the boy came back to life. He said, Father, let his soul come back. And his soul came back. His soul came back. We are living in this day and time where the Ahabs and the Jezebels are ruling, but the miracles will begin to move to a whole different level. We are going to experience in this time and in this age the casting out of devils, the healing of the sick, which we are all conversant with. But God is releasing something fresh and something you call the raising of the dead. The dead are going to be raised up. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. It is in a time of great danger and great darkness that God also releases. Light shines brightest where there is darkness. Hallelujah. Bible says that after this incident happens, God tells Elijah that 3.5 years is over. Now go to Ahab and present yourself to him and announce that the rain is coming back again. So dude runs, goes to Ahab, actually goes to Obadiah. And Obadiah says, are you Elijah? He says, I am Elijah. He says, fine. He says, now go and tell your master that he should bring all the prophets, his prophets, and all of Israel to Mount Carmel. I'll meet him there. And Elijah is about to walk off. You know, Elijah has a short temper. He's a very emotional guy. See, you have to understand prophets. Prophets are very emotional. Amen. You can't love we pastors. We pastors are calm and nice and all smiley and stuff. But prophets are kind of, you know, different. That's kind of some reclusive. In fact, when that prophet went to Jehu, who did they call him? They called him a madman. They behave strange. When you greet them, they don't greet you back. It's not because they are wicked. It's just because of their ministry. They are so caught up in their mantles. Amen. Hallelujah. One day we'll deal with that a little bit. But Elijah is about to go, and Obadiah says, please wait. You are known to vanish. You have power over time and space. And as soon as I leave you, you're going to vanish, and I will be in trouble. Ahab is killing everybody who has been connected to you. So I beg you, don't allow me to go to Ahab and be disappointed. Elijah said, you go, I'll wait right here, I'll go nowhere. I will not vanish as I always do. So Ahab comes with all the prophets and all the people of Israel and says, why are you troubling us like that? Elijah said, you are the one troubling Israel by serving Baal and all this stuff. Blessed be his holy name. And the Bible says, he calls down fire. You know that incident? He says, you guys sacrifice to your God, I sacrifice to my God. Whoever God will bring fire down, that God I will begin to worship. People say, we like this idea. The prophets did what they could. And this is where Elijah's education in Sidon begins to come out. God will begin to educate us on the dark arts by revelation, not by us going to their schools. Some of you will hear what I'm trying to say. In visions, God has shown me certain spirits, like the mystery Babylon, and a certain demonic person called the perverse spirit that brings about the homosexual spirit. Amen. I have seen the homosexual spirit, and I won't lie to you. God shows me demonic stuff so that we can dismantle it. Amen. And I'm not saying it to spook you. I am who I am. You are who you are. Amen. You are a man. You are not a woman, are you? You are a woman. You are not a man, are you? Amen. I am who I am. Hallelujah. I can't lie about who I am. God has been showing me stuff about the demonic. And the way he showed me the homosexual spirit in the dream, this spirit was moving so fast. You will see the spirit here and then it's over there by then. Fast. And the way it behaves, it has like a hood. You know what a hood is? As soon as somebody agrees just a little bit to its proposal, he puts a hood over the person and the person begins to change. And it's so fast. Once you are agreeing, he's on to the next person. Just so fast. You see how quickly this spirit has taken over the United States of America? It came quietly, very soft, and now it has taken over. America has been taken over by this principality. But today, with the anointing of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, today with the zeal of God, we decree judgment on this personality. Amen. We decree that this far you will go and no more. You will not take over our children in the nursery. You will not take over our children in the high schools. You will not take over our children in kindergarten. You will not take over our children. You will no longer bombard our airwaves with your demonic doctrine. That evil doctrine of Jezebel today, I silence it. Because Jezebel had a team of people called Sodomites. Jezebel had a grove. Everybody say a grove. A grove is where they were serving their gods. And their gods were served with what we call wardoms. Shout wardoms. In fact, Baal worship was interesting because it had another personality called Asherah. Asherah was a female personality and Baal was the husband or the male. Amen. And beside every Baal, there was an Asherah grove. And the grove was a collection of branches and trees. And this is where there were women prostitutes and male prostitutes called Sodomites. Now, this is the scripture. This is Bible. Amen. And they used to do crazy stuff over there. The Canaanites, when a woman reached the age of, you know, time to marry, she had to go out and sit by the street and all the men had to have fun with her. That was her induction into adulthood. That race was so demonic, God said, exterminate them. So that is the kind of religion that took over Israel. So when Jehu met the son of Jezebel, the son of Jezebel said to Jehu, are you coming in peace? And Jehu said, peace? I'm not coming in peace. Your mother has filled this land with wardoms and with her witchcraft. Have you realized how witchcraft has taken over the United States of America? Harry Potter. Look, let me tell you, if you're a child in this ministry, you are not to watch Harry Potter under no circumstance. Amen. 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 I will say it again. If you are a child, a young man, a young woman, a man, a woman, you are not under any circumstance to watch or read Harry Potter. You don't want to be initiated into what you are running away from. Blessed be his holy name. There's a whole day dedicated to witchcraft in this land. Halloween. And they wear witchcraft stuff. And some of us, we know that stuff. Amen. So we find it interesting that something that we know to be bad is being accepted so willingly. I'm like, take that silly hat off your head. Do you know what you are putting on your head? They are walking out with skeletons with all kinds of stuff inscribed on their t-shirts. Young boys wearing a skull on their t-shirt. The next day you go to their room, they have hanged themselves in their room. That is how the spirit of darkness operates. Brother, sister, it's time to rise up as a church. It is a doctrine. It is a teaching that has bombarded our airwaves. And today we are rising up against it in the name of Jesus. The Father has gotten me into trouble in this first video one. Hallelujah. Fire is going to come down in this age. That is our theme. We are all nations, restoration. We are a church that has been mandated to release the fire of God in this land. That is our peculiar calling. Every church has a calling. Our church, our particular mandate is to release the fire of God. That is why we are who we are. And we can't change. We'll not change for you. We love you, but won't change for you. We are who we are. We won't cut down our prayer hours. In fact, if you tell me to cut down our prayer hours, what I hear in the spirit is increase the prayer hours. Hallelujah. That is who we are. If you come and you're praying, you're tired and you want to fall down, we'll give you a bed to sleep on. But we will pray. Because that is who we are. Elijah was a man of prayer. When he sees things in the spirit, he didn't just say it and go away. When he saw it, he prayed it through until it manifested. That is how with some of you, when you tell me something, I don't do anything for a while. What I would do, we are praying until we see the full manifestation. I get what I'm saying. We mean business. Hallelujah. Well, truth be told, after this wonderful spectacle where fire came down from heaven, Jezebel is still alive. All her prophets were killed. The prophets of Baal were killed. But she had her own prophets. Elijah didn't touch them because Jezebel didn't bring them to Mount Carmel. This one is dangerous. Ahab goes home after the rain came and comes down. Because Baal was known to release rain. Amen. So that's why he fought against that. Amen. He knew about what can destroy Baal. He knew how they worship. He told the people, guys, as you are praying, you need to shout a little bit louder because your God, you know, at times he travels. So you have to shout. And at times your God sleeps. So you have to wake him up. The Bible says when he encouraged them, they would leap on the altar and they would take knives and they begin to cut themselves until blood was flowing. And as they get tired, you come again and say, what are you guys doing? You know, Baal likes to travel. Wake up and shout and scream. He understood what he was dealing with. The more you understand about what you are dealing with, the greater authority you can exercise over it. Blessed be his holy name. If you have no understanding about something, you have very little power over it. But once you understand, the power that is already resident in you can be rightly executed to destroy that power of darkness. Amen. Today we are tearing down Jezebel. We are locking up the heavens over her head. She can no longer apply to the starry system. Her astral altars, we are pulling them down. And we are demolishing those altars in the name of Jesus. Would you believe that after this whole wonderful thing, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, man, what did you just do? You killed the prophet. If you are alive by this time tomorrow, I'm not Jezebel. Now I'm expecting this man of God. A man who just exterminated the prophets of Baal. A man who just calls down fire from heaven. I'm expecting her to say, who are you, woman? Who are you to stand against me? But for once, we see Elijah becoming as human as we all are. Do you know we are flesh and bones? Every now and then, we move into our sonship, our divine nature. You know, but we can't stay there too long. So we calm down. And the valley is where the devil can get you. After every mountaintop experience, there's a valley. Are you aware? So you have to learn how to maintain the momentum with God. How to keep on praying. That's why Jesus, after he fed the 5,000, went back to prayer. Because he knew what the devil could do after a time of victory. That Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. What did Elijah do? The guy began to run. You see him? Powerful man of God, run. He ran. The guy ran, went to a certain place, sat under a juniper tree and said, Lord, kill me. I'm the only prophet left and they are trying to kill me. Amen. God gives him food to eat that sustained him for 40 days. He walked in the strength of that meal. Divine diet is powerful. Bible says we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Dude runs away to Mount Horeb, the same place where Moses saw and experience an encounter with God. Go to the same places where the men of old touched God, and you will touch God there too. Bible says, whilst he's there, God says, what are you doing here? I'm expecting you to take care of Jezebel. Elijah said, look, I'm the only person. I can't do this thing. You got to kill me. And God says, all right, all right, all right. Look, you still have some work to do. Go and anoint Jehu. Everybody say Jehu. Go and anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to become a king over Israel. And go to the land of Syria and anoint a king there, somebody called Hazael, to be king. Hallelujah. He said, and when you are going, anoint a man called Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to become the prophet in your place. I can't have a vacancy. There's no vacancy in my ministries. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Elijah say, yes, sir. Yes, yes, boss. And he goes with a greater level of anointing on his life. Amen. In his lifetime, he did not anoint Hazael. He did not anoint Jehu. But he anointed Elisha, who actually anointed. He himself too couldn't anoint this guy, Jehu. But he did anoint Hazael. But he gave a box of oil. In 2 Kings chapter 9, he gave a box of oil. Where is my oil? He took oil, amen. And then he calls a young man and says, take the oil and go and look for a man called Jehu. And when you go, he'll be sitting with some people. Take him out into a room and pour the oil upon his head and tell him that he's been anointed to exterminate the seed of Ahab. And after you are finished with the anointing service, run as fast as you can away from that place. Because that anointing on Jehu is an exterminator anointing. Without God, you know, exterminators. Exterminators are powerful. They are not very friendly. Because their agenda is to kill. You know, people have different agendas. Amen. A cook's job is to do what? To cook. Right? But an exterminator's job is to exterminate. So if you are not careful and you hang around an exterminator too long, you may be exterminated. Do you understand this? All right. In any case, the prophet takes the oil and he goes to a place where Jehu is sitting down with a number of captains of Ahab's army. And they are all sitting down. Jehu is one of the group of captains. Hallelujah. Do you know the oil will pull you out of obscurity? The oil will separate you. And the oil will distinguish you. And the oil will promote you. Blessed be his holy name. When he went there, they said, who are you looking for? And the person who asked that question was our brother Jehu. In his obscurity, he was still a loud mouth. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, you have to be like Peter. First, you jump out of the boat. You must want it. Amen. He says, who are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for a guy called Jehu. He said, I am Jehu. He says, I need you to come and follow me. Jehu is like, okay. So he follows this guy. Now, the prophet was behaving strangely. They called him a madman. Are you aware? And they went into this room. And the prophet broke the box of oil over this man. Hallelujah. He said, Jehu, you are going to destroy the house of Ahab. Any person who can release water against the wall, you are going to kill him. And then he added more than Elisha said. That's why we need a new blood. But the new blood, they are not as soft as the old group. The old group, they were rough when they started out. But time has caught up to them. That's why God is releasing a new generation. Hallelujah. He says, not just Ahab, wait a minute. You're going to take out Jezebel. Because she killed the prophet of God and the servants of God. So you are going to kill all of them. And he pours this oil over his life. Say, today I receive the oil that touched Jehu. The kind of oil that will empower me to scatter the wicked and to bring the wheel over them. The kind of anointing that will touch my eyes and scatter all evil away. In the mighty name of Jesus, the kind of oil that will gird me with strength unto the battle. The kind of anointing to break down the gate of the enemy. I receive that oil. I receive that anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. But that's sister, you have that anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That anointing has been released. When the oil touched Jehu, he ran. The Bible says he went into the room and the guy said, who was that guy who was talking with you? That mad guy. He said, oh, you know, he just, you know how he is. He says, he's just talking. They said, you are lying to us. What did he tell you there? He said, well, he says that he's anointing me to be king over Israel. Immediately they take off their clothes, put on the ground and say, long live King Jehu. When the oil touches you, the people who are with you will realize it. Amen. They will see it. And that relationship will break. And now you are their commander. May that anointing separate you. In the mighty name of Jesus. He says, guys, if you agree with me, then let's go right now. Before this king hears of what is happening, let's go take him out. Now, if you're all with me, whoever enters that city and comes out, who is not with us, we have to kill him. He said, we are with you all the way. Now, Jehu was known to be a guy, when he rides his chariot, he doesn't care who he's facing. He rides furiously. When that anointing hits you, you're furious, you're angry. When that anointing hit Jesus Christ, look at what he did to the money changers. May that anointing touch you today. That anointing accepts no quarter. Bible says this guy goes. And as he's going, the king, who was the son of Ahab, Ahab is long dead. But his son went to fight against Hazael. Everybody shout Hazael. And Hazael wounded him. Hallelujah. Who anointed Hazael? Elisha. Amen. This king wounded and softened up the son of Ahab for Jehu to finish him off. I get what we are saying. You see how the anointings cooperate together? And this king asked somebody to go and find out why Jehu is coming against him. So this guy writes, good him, goes to Jehu and says, Jehu, what's up? Jehu said, are you for me or against me? The guy begins to realize what is happening. He says, I'm for you. So he goes and joins Jehu's army. And Jehu is riding. And the king sends another rider. Go and ask him what is happening. He says, what do you think is happening? Are you for me or against me? He says, I'm for you, sir. Joins. Because Jehu's eyes are fiery. And the king said, hey, what is going on? Why are these guys going and not coming back? And the king of Judah, who was also in alliance with Israel, was with him. And these two guys came out of the city to ride out to Jehu to see what's going on. And when they got to Jehu, they said, Jehu, what are you doing? Jehu said, are you thinking I'm coming for peace? He said, do you think it's for peace? I came because of the whoredoms and the witchcraft of Jezebel. I want us to go there and see this thing right now. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9. Hallelujah. Tell the person sitting by you, wake up. Hallelujah. We are dealing with Jezebel. Jezebel likes people to sleep. And when you sleep, she begins to sing you some nice songs. And that's how that woman can take over you big time. He says, Ahab, go and sleep. I'll take care of this Naboth guy. When Ahab woke up, Jezebel said, I'll finish the job. Go and take over the land. Amen. We are not going to sleep here. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We are in 2 Kings chapter 9. Hallelujah. Are you there? Verse 22. And it came to pass when Joram is the son of Ahab, amen. When he saw Jehu, he said, is it peace? Hallelujah. Did you see that? Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the what? The whoredoms, which is immorality, sexual perversion, amen, adultery, fornication, amen, homosexuality, sodomy, all these come under this heading, whoredoms, amen. It says, as long as the whoredoms of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many, there will be no peace. They say, Jesus, what did you come for? He says, I did not come to bring peace on the earth. I came with a sword. A father will be turned against a son, and a son against the father, and mother-in-law obviously against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law definitely against the mother-in-law, a brother against brother, a sister against sister. He said, I came with what? A sword. That sword is in this house. Amen. See, any ungodly connection that I have to anybody that is interfering with God's plans for my life, I release the sword and I cut off that relationship. In the name of Jesus, that sword is working today. The Bible says there can't be peace. Until this situation is dealt with, there can be no peace. But as it starts, for you to experience the perfect peace, shalom, shalom, you got to deal with Jesse. Amen. You got to deal with this woman. Hallelujah. You got to remove her out of your life. Because that woman brings forth strange children that will sap your energy. that will sap your wealth, that will sap your everything that God blesses you with. It is a Delilah. It is a witch. You got to deal with this spirit. They dealt with a human person. We're dealing with the spirit behind that human manifestation. I get what I'm saying. I'm not saying take a gun and go kill a witch. That won't solve your problem. Because if you read the Bible very carefully, Jezebel died, but in Revelation, she was still there. Because they didn't have the power to deal with the spirit. They were dealing with the human expression. And the Bible says that, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. I'm calling on you to step on scorpions and serpents. And the Bible says that once you receive this power, you have to cast them out. We are the generation that can cast out devils. When Jesus started to cast out devils, the people in the first synagogue said, what new doctrine is this? With power and with authority, he cast out the spirits and they obey him. Today we are casting out that spirit. They killed a human being. The spirit said, I'm going to look for another person to take care of this situation. Hallelujah. We are killing the spirit behind it. The Bible says that God is calling us not to fight against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, even to the pulling down of strongholds. So the Old Testament gives us the manual for us to execute our spiritual battles today. They dealt with things in the flesh. We're dealing with things in the spirit. And once the spirit is dealt with, the human has to cooperate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. There was a woman, I think called Ruth Brown. She was in a certain church as a member. And by the spirit, she noticed that a lot of witches had taken over the church. And she took it upon herself to pray and fast until that spirit is removed. She did not attack any human person. She did not level an allegation against any person. She went to her prayer closet and legislated from heaven. In 21 days, all the witches left that church. And the pastor who was under serious duress was liberated and could preach freely. And things were happening in that church. And she didn't tell anybody what happened. We legislate from where? The spirit. You don't deal with human beings. That's a mistake. Amen. We deal with what? The spirit behind what is manifesting. When that spirit goes, that person can do nothing. That girl who had the spirit of Python in Acts 16, verse 16, Paul, by the spirit of the living God, said, you foul spirit, come out of her. When that spirit left that woman, the Bible said they tried to get her to do her foretelling and her soothsaying, and she could not. Hallelujah. We have that power today. We are binding the spirit of Jezebel out of the church. And her evil doctrine that causes people to commit fornication. Her evil doctrine that causes people to eat food, sacrifice to idols. We are overcoming it by the blood of Jesus. And by the sword of the living word of God. In the name of Jesus. Look at this expression. Jehu goes there. After he kills the king. The king said, are you coming for peace? Jehu kills him. Jehu is a powerful bow and arrow guy. When a guy sees that Jehu is coming to kill him, he turns away and begins to run. Jehu took the bow. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he drew the bow with all his strength. And he released the arrow. And the arrow hit the guy right between his shoulders and came out of his heart. And the guy fell down and sunk. We will say, oh, that is wickedness. Well, if you know what Jezebel has been doing, you understand why that should be done. We don't deal kindly with Jezebels in the name of Jesus. That was one of her sons. Blessed be his holy name. Jehu goes inside Jezreel. And Jezebel has seen by her crystal ball that brother Jehu is coming. So before anything can happen, she goes out. And the Bible says she painted her face. Have you read that in the Bible before? Let's read that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not a deeper life minister, but I believe that the deeper lives are going to heaven before we do. Hallelujah. Those people are holy. Amen. I believe in their ministry, but I'm not into dress codes. Amen. But I'm here to help you all the same. You see how I'm attacking this issue. I'm going all around it. I will hate it. Hallelujah. Are we in the 2 Kings 9? There's a place where Jezebel came. Hallelujah. Aha. Uh-huh. Verse 30. 2 Kings 9, verse 30. Are we all there? Hallelujah. You know, makeup can make you look younger. Amen. It can miraculously remove every pimple off your face. I once went for a TV program. Amen. And the guy who was doing it was like, I need to put powder on your face. I said, why do you have to put powder on my face? He said, we just have to do that for the production. So he goes, put this real makeup on my face. And then I found out that it was because the first time we took the broadcasting thing, my face was looking so black. Amen. Now you know I'm black, right? I'm who I am. Hallelujah. Amen. So this time around, they whitened it up. So later, when after the thing didn't sit well with me at all. So after that, I said, I won't do this thing again. Hallelujah. My face is what it is. I'm black, you white. I'm black, you blue. Hallelujah. Amen. You see the white people are trying to become black like us. And they go and sit in the sun, and then they come out. Did you see that bronze lady? Have you ever heard of that bronze lady? She was white, and then she became brown. Amen. They are doing rasta hairs. The white people are doing white rasta hairs. So interesting. Hallelujah. So it's very interesting. But I am who I am, and I love who I am, and I'm comfortable with my skin. If I'm born again 1,000 times, I'll come 1,000 times as a black man. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she did what? So makeup didn't start today. It's nothing new. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. She painted her face. Remember that Ahab is dead after reigning for 22 years. Remember that her son has been reigning for some time and has just been killed. This old lady has remained fresh through the makeup all this while. Amen. So that's one of the things that she does. Amen. She painted her face and she tired her hair. Do you know what that means? Perming or whatever. They do whatever they do. Hallelujah. One day when I was a little boy, hallelujah, there was a certain lady who was walking around me. Amen. One day she took me to a saloon. Amen. And she said, sit down. So I sat down. And that was the day that I realized that the saloon is a mighty place. My God, it is like a praise and worship session. I'm telling you, it's an anointed place. They fry the hair, they wash it, then they boil it, and then they grill it, and then they set it. And then after they put in all this stuff, they wash it again. They wash it out. Amen. And then they roll it. And then they sit under the heat. And they warm their hair. Hallelujah. They warm their hair for about 30 minutes. Am I right? And I'm like, this thing that is on the head, is it safe? I mean, I'm watching this thing. I'm fascinated. I can't sleep. I can't read a book. This is fascinating. And I'm like, boy, this is a lot of work. Our ladies go through a lot of stuff for us. Let's put our hands together for our ladies. Hallelujah. When a lady says, I'm going to the salon, I'll be back right now. I say, don't worry, take your time. I know you are not coming back anytime soon. This woman changes her face. Amen. Me, I'll just tell you, be simple. Hallelujah. Be yourself. Blessed be his holy name. Whatever you have to do, don't go to excess. I hope you understand what I'm saying. See, God is against excess. Everybody shout excess. Excess is what God is against. Overindulgence. Amen. I've been in services where people's handkerchiefs, see the handkerchiefs? The ladies in this chair, they do very well with their handkerchiefs. Very nice. It's not that big. Amen. But I've been in places where they have skyscraper kerchiefs. You're trying to hear the man of God. He's trying to do this. You can't see. Amen. Hallelujah. You turn to the person on your left, you're like, whoa! Hallelujah. Your lips are red. My God, I want to do something to those lips. Mwah! Hallelujah. I hope you are getting this. Man, you are trying to praise. I just want to pray. You see something. You're wondering what is going on. Jezebel had a way to attract the Ahabs. Ahab could not pull himself from him. Ahab was tied up to Mother Jezebel. Today we are dealing with Mama Jezebel. I said what? Excess is bad. Normal is good. Amen. Because if someone says, okay, then I will not put anything on my face, then we may have to actually run away from you. Hallelujah. Something small is fine, but too much is bad. If you are taking more than 2 hours before the mirror, you are worshiping your face. Seriously. Are you hearing this word? And not just for women, no. There are some men too. Boy, they take a long time. In the bathroom, I don't know what they are doing. They want every hair in place. I knew of a certain guy, when you touch it, he says, hey, don't touch my hair. God, they have gotten in a certain place. Amen. We have to watch it. Hallelujah. I believe in belts. Do you believe in a belt? Isn't it wonderful that trousers is created with belt holes? And it's created to hold up the trousers so that it will not slip down, but stay in place so you can walk freely and nicely. But today I see trousers that have been designed to hang around here. And I see people struggling to walk with their trousers. And I'm like, when there's a fire, what will happen? If there's a fire service coming, what are they going to do? How can they run? Maybe they'll just hold like that. Hallelujah. Mama Jezebel. Mama Jezebel is attacking our mind. You see the artists with tattoos all over their body, painting themselves with all kinds of stuff. If you're in this church, don't do that. Amen. 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 Don't put tattoos where I can't see them. It's still there. Hallelujah. No tattoos. Because some of those marks you put on your body have demonic significance. And you see things coming into your life and you don't understand it. Amen. You will save me a deliverance session by just doing that. Hallelujah. Jezebel was doing stuff to herself. We are living in a day and age where people are doing stuff to themselves. People don't like themselves anymore. Their hair is too short. Their hair is too long. Amen. Thank God for our first lady. She changed her hair. Bangs. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's changing stuff. May God make you happy with yourself. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Here you are trying to slim down, and the person for your life wants fat people. And the person who really wants you, when he comes, like, who is this? I thought there was a certain lady here. Oh, I don't know. I think she left. God made you the way you are to attract the person meant for you. Hallelujah. Be happy with who you are. If you are black, you black. No need to whiten your face. If you are white, you white. It's nice. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. Be happy. If you are fat, you are fat. So what? You see that in the winter time, fat people don't wear jackets and coats and like all of us do. Because they have enough lumber. Just the cold can't go through. Hallelujah. Some of us, when the cold comes, we are in deep trouble. Because there's nothing to ward it off. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this word? If you are thin, that is wonderful. You are flexible. You are fast. It's good. I get what I'm saying. Jezebel tries to manipulate and change and twist and change things to Photoshop. Hallelujah. But praise be to God that God has made you the way you are. But the Bible says she looked out of the window. What is she trying to do? That is what prostitutes do. They try to attract people. The next verse. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, back again. Hallelujah. Yes, the next verse, 31. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace who slew his master? How did Jezebel know that this man had killed her son? Jehu is riding furiously. How could she know? She saw it. Amen. Let's continue. Hallelujah. He lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. Today the eunuchs are going to rise up. This woman has castrated some men. But this is the time of vengeance to deal with this woman. Amen. He said, throw her down. And they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. Did Jehu leave her alone? Jehu was in a chariot. What did he do with a chariot? Rode right over her. A wise king scattered all evil with his eyes, right? And he bringeth the wheel over them. Blessed be his holy name. This is the time where you have to know who your enemy is. Amen. He said, who are you? Who is on my... He didn't even talk to Jezebel. That's how much he didn't care for her. You have brought so much evil into this land. He said, who is on my side? I'm asking the same question today. Who is on the Lord's side? If you're on God's side, you may be hanging around with Jezebel today. It's time to show your true allegiance today. Hallelujah. It's time to throw Jezebel down. Jezebel has been feeding you all this while. But whilst she's feeding you, she's been polluting your life. It's time to throw her down. We'll finish this word next week. Amen. But let me just hold off long enough to say this. It's time to throw down Jezebel. It's time to throw her and cast her out of our lives. For the church to become what it is meant to be, that spirit has to be killed. That spirit has to be destroyed. But now, sister, as we rise today, begin to move in your kingly anointing. Say, I am a king. But now, sister, the priests couldn't deal with Jezebel. They had to leave the land of Israel and go to Judah. Rather, the prophets tried their best, but they were exterminated. Elijah went far, amen, but he couldn't take out Mother Jezebel. Actually, he ran. But there was a certain person who wasn't a prophet, who wasn't a priest, but he was a king. And when he received the anointing of the prophet, what happened to him? He was mandated and empowered to deal with Jezebel. Today, you are rising in your kingly anointing. You're going to execute judgment on the Jezebels of your life. As you rise today, God is empowering you to deal with this woman or this particular person. It's time to throw her down in the name of Jesus. Say, in Jesus' name, I sit on my throne of judgment. I execute the judgments of God against the Jezebels of my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cast out the bondwoman and her children in the name of Jesus. I cast out the bondwoman and her children in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome every spirit of Jezebel fighting against my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, every Jezebel executing wicked agenda in my life, receive the fire of God. I cast you down in the name of Jesus. I release a decree to perpetually banish the spirit of Jezebel out of my life, out of my finances, in the mighty name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I cast down that spirit in the name of Jesus. I want you to